If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. As we continue in our series, In the Cross, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, very familiar words. Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And let's pray. Lord, we know that death is one of the biggest shocks that comes into our life, the death of people that we love, and also the prospect of our own death. And I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, how much we need to be turning to you and that promise of eternal life that comes through your death and resurrection. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Monday, March the 22nd, in Boulder, Colorado, 21-year-old Ahmad Alyssa drove to the King Super grocery store, pulled out a Ruger 5.56, and started shooting, hitting several people in the parking lot before going inside the store, roaming around, and shooting people at random while everybody was trying to run out and hide and dive under the counters. Until police and SWAT teams showed up, and after a brief shootout, took him into custody. All told, 10 people were killed, including a 51-year-old cop who was the first one on the scene. And this is what one eyewitness said. "I don't understand. How can this happen? How can so many people be here and then just die like that? What is death? And that their lives can just end that way?" And you know what, folks? How could that happen? How could those people just die like that? What is death? And why does death have to happen? And how are we supposed to deal with it when it happens to us and the people that we love? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series for Lent called In the Cross, because it's only in the cross of Jesus Christ that we find the answers to the biggest questions that people are asking today. So far in this series, we've looked at how we're supposed to deal with things like sin and with suffering. And today, we look at how we're supposed to deal with another sad reality, and that's death. And to understand that, we turn this morning to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. In this part of Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is talking about the difference between living for Christ and living for sin. And in our text today, he says it's the difference between having eternal life and suffering eternal death. So the Holy Spirit is telling us today, the answer to that question is very simple. How do we deal with death? Through faith in the promise of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, tells us three things that we need to do in order to deal with death and overcome it like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to deal with death, we need to understand the cause. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 23. And listen to me, we better understand it because death is everywhere today. 10 people killed in a mass shooting in Boulder, Colorado last Monday. 5 people killed by a tornado in Birmingham, Alabama last Thursday. 7,542 people die every single day in America. 1,752 from abortion. 132 die every day from drug overdose. 54 people die in America every single day because they're murdered. Porn publisher Larry Flint finally died last February the 10th. Country singer B.J. Thomas is about to die from lung cancer. Death happens and continues to happen every single day. And the Bible tells us exactly what the cause is. The Bible says in the very beginning, God created the world and everything in it and created it absolutely perfect. And God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and put them in a paradise place called the Garden of Eden. And God told Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree in this garden, just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because God said, you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And of course, Adam and Eve sinned and did eat from that tree. And you and I have been going to funerals ever since. Because that sin nature, that tendency to sin, and the death penalty that goes along with it have been passed down generation to generation all the way to today. So that you and me and the guy behind the tree are all sinners. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we're all sinners, we're all going to die one day too, like Adam and Eve did. So death isn't God's fault, it's our fault. You say, but Kevin, that's not fair. No, it's totally fair. The wages of sin is death. Death is exactly what we earn, exactly what we deserve from God for our sin. It's totally fair, no matter how it happens. Last March the 7th, 20-year-old Stone Fultz, Bowling Green State University, died of alcohol poisoning because his frat brothers loaded him up with wild turkey. Your sin, somebody else's sin, doesn't matter. Everybody dies. So death isn't just something random like a strike of lightning, and it's definitely not racist because 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam, all die. All races, all ethnic backgrounds, all colors, all die. No exceptions. The house always wins. So don't let them kid you. The leading cause of death in America today is not climate change or assault rifles or Donald Trump. It's sin. Which means one of these days, unless Jesus Christ comes back first, this is going to be you. And this is going to be me. But the problem is, too many people in America today are so clueless about the Bible, they don't understand death at all. You go to funerals and people will look in the casket and they'll say, "Doesn't he look good?" "No, he doesn't look good. He looks dead." "Well, you know, only the good die young." "Really? Is that why veal tastes so good?" "Only the good die young. So that means if you're really bad, you'll live forever?" What in the world is that supposed to mean? A couple of years ago, James Henry Stewart, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, died. And his family turned the funeral home into his living room. Put his corpse in his favorite recliner, TV remote in his hand, his beer and his smokes right next to him, with his TV playing Steelers highlights on a continuous loop. Talk about not understanding what death really is, trying to hide the fact of what it is. People do not understand death. Dr. Oz on TV says death is just a mystery. But that's not true, because the Bible does not say that death is a mystery to be solved. The Bible says that death is an enemy to be defeated, 1 Corinthians 15:26. Because death is not what God originally intended to happen to human beings, because God originally intended human beings to live forever. But sin took care of that. Death came into the world through sin. There's your cause. But how many people today understand that? Last month, Netflix came out with another series, this one called Surviving Death, where they dumb down the Bible and push all kinds of New Age claptrap from mediums to so-called Ghostbusters and everybody in between. Americans are now spending $2 billion a year on psychics. One out of every three Americans now believes in reincarnation. God help us, people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In the last days, people will abandon the gospel and follow deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. That's exactly what we see happening in America right now. Everybody and his brother today under the age of 40 wants to bury their loved ones with their cell phone right in the casket with them. So they can call the phone and see the phone glow in the casket. Or they can hear the phone ring as the casket's being lowered into the ground. And even play the coffin dance with the phone number. Talk about having a dead phone. People do not understand death at all. And you know why? Because they don't even let themselves think about it. And you know why? Because they're absolutely terrified of it. So a lot of people do everything they possibly can. Try to hang on to the life that they have here and now. Pop singer Britney Spears just put out over $200,000 to have her body cryogenically frozen after she died. And why? This is what she said. "It's a chance to keep on living if medical science can ever figure it out. And I had to take that chance because the thought of dying freaks me out so bad I can't even deal with it." Terrified of death. People are afraid of how they're going to die. They're afraid that they're going to have to die in a lot of pain. People are afraid that they're going to have to die alone and all by themselves. People are afraid of what's going to happen to them when they die. Dr. Alex Lickerman, University of Chicago, said this: "Whenever I try wrapping my mind around the concept of my own demise, the essence of what I am utterly gone forever, I unearth a fear so overwhelming, my mind has to turn aside. The fear of death is so terrifying, my mind simply cannot process the thought." Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. The devil holds people in slavery to the fear of death. So let me ask you this morning, are you afraid to die? Do you understand what the cause of death really is? Because believe you me, the number one cause of death in America is not what the powers that be want you to think it is. Ever since the very start of this pandemic, the World Health Organization, the CDC, Dr. Fauci, the left and the media wanted all of us to think that everybody was going to get COVID and everybody was going to die of COVID if we didn't do absolutely everything they told us to do and lock down this country and give up our rights so that they could change America forever. So from the very beginning, every single day, they told us how many more people tested positive for COVID and how many more people died from it, without ever giving us any information on how many people tested negative for it or how many people actually recovered from it or what the risk factors were for the different age groups of people. And because of that, to this day, Americans think far more people have gotten COVID than really have. And you know why? Because of the way that they manipulated the polymerase chain reaction test, the PCR test, that they've used to test people for COVID to begin with. A test that was invented by a doctor named Kerry Mullis back in 1993 to detect viruses in people. A test that he won a Nobel Prize for in chemistry later that year. Now, a couple of weeks ago, a video showed up on YouTube claiming that Kerry Mullis had said the PCR test could not be used to detect COVID in people. And of course, the fact checkers had a cow because Kerry Mullis died early last year before COVID ever became a pandemic. So granted. But the problem is, Dr. Kerry Mullis did not say that the PCR test could not detect viruses in people because that's exactly what that test was developed to do. What Dr. Kerry Mullis actually said is that the PCR test cannot detect how much of a virus a person has. And because of that, the PCR test cannot be used to diagnose that somebody was actually infected with a virus, whatever virus it was, or that the person had actually become sick because of the virus. But folks, that's exactly how that PCR test has been used from the very beginning in this pandemic to determine that people have COVID. If you use the bathroom already this morning, chances are you've got some E. coli on your hands, even if you washed them. But just because the presence of E. coli is on your hands, does that mean that you're infected with E. coli or that you're already sick from it? Of course not. The American Medical Association tells us there's more bacteria and more viruses on your cell phone than there is in a toilet seat. But does that mean the presence of those bacteria and virus, does that mean that you're infected with those things or that you're sick with them already? Of course not. The American Medical Association says there are 40 trillion different bacteria and 380 trillion different viruses on and in our body at any given time. But does that mean that we're infected with those things or that we're already sick from them? Of course it doesn't. That's why God put hair in your nose to keep those things from getting inside and gave you an immunity system to kill them off if they do get inside. Now, what does that mean? It means from the very start of this pandemic, the CDC, using the PCR test, counted even the trace of a COVID particle, even dead COVID particles in people's noses, as a positive case. Even though a lot of those people weren't really infected with it and weren't really sick from it. And why would they do that? Because the government paid extra money for positive cases. And the more positive cases justified locking down the government, giving bailout money to blue states, and giving President Trump out of the White House. And how do we know that? Because 46 minutes, just 46 minutes after Joe Biden was inaugurated, the CDC reminded medical personnel what a PCR test really was and what a PCR test really did. And of course, what was the result? COVID infection rates started dropping like a rock. People, it stinks to high heaven. Now, does that mean that COVID is a hoax? For the 100 billionth time, of course not. But the CDC is now saying over 30 million Americans have had COVID. But what's that based on? It's based on the old interpretation of the PCR test and a lot of new quick tests that are famous for a lot of false positives. And what's even worse, the way that test was manipulated now has so many Americans so scared to death that COVID is going to kill them, they are totally forgetting about the number one thing that really is killing them, and that's sin. So they're doing nothing about it. Your chances are infinitesimally small that you will ever have COVID. If you do have COVID, your chances are infinitesimally small that you'll actually get sick from it. If you do actually get sick from it, your chances are infinitesimally small that you will not recover from it. But when it comes to sin, your chances of having it, getting sick from it, and dying from it are 100% for sure, for certain. The number one killer in the world today is not COVID, it's sin. Always has been and always will be. The first thing that we need to do in order to deal with death, we need to understand the cause. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to deal with death. We not only need to understand the cause, we also need to understand the cure. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in the second part of verse 23. So don't stop reading halfway through this verse. The problem is, because of sin, we die. But the cure is, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will live again even after we die. That's the cure for death. And holy grim reaper people, do we ever need that cure? Because when you lose somebody very close to you, and it happens all of a sudden, just like that, it's like slamming into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour. Everything stops, everything crashes, everything falls apart, everything changes, and it never, ever, ever goes back to the way it was before. Ever. That person is gone, but your love for that person is still there. And because of that, grief hurts like hell. My dad died back in 1998. And today, 23 years later, my mom says it still feels like my dad is going to walk through the front door of that house any second. But he never does. And nighttime is the worst because you miss even hearing them breathing and sleeping in the same bed next to you. And you miss them so much. You wish you could die yourself and go be where they are. Even for Christians, listen to me. You can believe in Jesus and redemption and eternity and everything there is to know about heaven. Grief still hurts like hell. And nobody can tell you how you're supposed to grieve because it's different for everybody. I know people, they lose one of their own. It's their family tradition to go and dig that person's grave themselves. They don't hire it done, the family members do it. I know a guy who lost his son in a motorcycle accident. He built a brand new deck under the back of his house. That was his way of dealing with it. Some people need to visit the cemetery a lot and go sit by the grave. Some people never go to the cemetery, and that's fine. Some people cry like a fire hydrant. Other people don't cry at all. That's perfectly fine. But grief becomes a problem when people start acting like the dead person isn't really dead. The picture you see on the screen here is a mom named Rita Hanlon. Her son died back in 2017. For the next 6 months, she slept in a bedroll on top of her son's grave every single night. And then during the day, she would read him his favorite books that he had when he was growing up, as if he was hearing him. I've seen people in cemeteries put earbuds on the tombstone, thinking that somehow that dead person can still hear their favorite playlist. I know a husband right now who still has his wife's voice on their answering machine, even though she died 19 years ago. I know parents who have had birthday parties for the last 25 years for their daughter, even though she died back when she was 2. Folks, there's a problem. People today like to release doves, live doves, during graveside services in cemeteries. 2 years ago, outside of Des Moines, Iowa, there were 2 funerals in the cemetery going on at exactly the same time, right next to each other. One funeral released doves. The other funeral was for a guy who was big in the NRA and had specifically requested his friends give him a 7-shotgun salute. So you can guess what happened. Dead doves everywhere. And you know what the hottest thing is now? Your loved one dies, you have them cremated, take your loved one's ashes, mix it with body ink, and have their ashes tattooed on your body. So whoever did that to me, even after I died, I'd still be getting under her skin. But you know what all those things have in common? There's no cure for death. There's no hope of eternal life in any of those things. And I know there's somebody thinking right now, Kevin, this verse says the wages of sin is death, but if Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, why does anybody still physically die? But see, the real question, the wages of sin is death, what kind of death is Paul really talking about here? Because it's not just physical death, it's also spiritual death. Because sin doesn't just have physical consequences, it also has spiritual consequences. Not just physical death, but spiritual separation from God. Notice in this verse, Paul is contrasting two opposite things. Life, eternal life, and death. And what's the opposite of eternal life? It's eternal spiritual death. Death separates the soul from the body. Sin separates the soul from God. Eternal spiritual death separates the soul from God forever in a place called hell. That's the kind of death that Paul is talking about here in this verse. So even though Jesus died on the cross, why do people still physically die? Because your physical death does not pay off or cancel your spiritual death. They're two separate things. Your physical death is a consequence of your sin, not a payment for it. Because it's the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that makes the full payment for our sin. So for us believers, even though we will someday physically die, we won't spiritually die and go to hell. Jesus said, John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Catch that phrase, you will live even though you die. Even though you die, you will still live again after you die. That's the resurrection. That's the cure for death. The cure for death is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin and to save us from hell. And it's all because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Southwestern part of the United States is called the Venom Belt because there are scorpions there that sting over 10,000 people a year. And in case you don't know, a scorpion sting hurts so bad, it feels like somebody is scooping your brains out with a plastic spork. And those scorpion stings are so fatal deadly, especially for young children and for old people. Well, about 5 years ago, researchers developed something called Aniscorp, which is the first ever scorpion anti-venom that was approved by the FDA. And you know how they make that? They use horses. Because horses have a lot of blood and a really strong immune system. So they start by injecting that horse with half the sting of a scorpion and keep building up that horse's immunity by injecting more and more powerful scorpion stings into the horse. Antibodies build up in its blood to the point the horse takes the equivalent of 100 scorpion stings. Then they drain the blood, separate out all the antibodies, purify it for human use. But here's the problem. One dose of Aniscorp costs about $12,000, and it usually takes 3 to 5 doses to stop a sting. Well, the Bible tells us about another sting that's even worse than the sting of a scorpion, and that's the sting of death, a sting that stings every single one of us. And the cure is not the blood of a horse, it's the blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ. And even though that blood is absolutely priceless, it's also absolutely free to anybody who will turn to Jesus Christ in faith. So even though us Christians will physically die someday, just like that, we're going to be raised again and we will live forever in heaven with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:56, death, where is your sting? It's not there. And folks, don't tell me that doesn't help us deal with death. Don't tell me it doesn't help us overcome it. Because it did for them. Back in 2019, country star Granger Smith and his wife Amber were on top of the world. He had songs on the country charts, touring all over the country, big old house in Georgetown, Texas, YouTube reality show, and three beautiful kids, including three-year-old River, who they had a special bond with because he was going to be the last child that they ever had. And he loved absolutely everybody that he met and came in contact with, and he was always keeping that family laughing their heads off. And he loved his daddy so much, Granger had to tuck him into bed every night and get him out of bed every morning. Well, June 4th, 2019, Granger Smith was playing with those three kids in the front yard. Wife Amber was in the house taking a shower. And Granger got preoccupied with the two older kids and didn't realize River had gone into the backyard and opened the childproof gate on the swimming pool and slipped into the water. And even though it was only 2 minutes later that Granger and the two older kids realized River wasn't there, by that time, that little boy was already face down in that pool, unconscious, his lungs filled with water. For 10 solid minutes, Granger and Amber did CPR on that boy before the EMTs got there. And even though they got his heart starting to beat again, there had been such massive, catastrophic brain damage. 2 days after that little boy was taken to Dell Children's Hospital in Austin, there is no hope. So they pulled the plug, took him off of life support, and that beautiful little boy died. People, there is no pain, absolutely no pain in the whole wide world that even begins to compare with the pain of parents losing a child, because there's just something about it that tells you it's not right. You should not outlive your kids. Your kids should bury you, not the other way around. So Granger and Amber and those two older kids were so torn up about it, it felt like their insides were coming out. You talk about heartache. And then all the if-onlys. If only they had put another lock on that gate. If only they had installed an alarm. If only Mom had been in the front yard. If only they'd realized River wasn't in the front yard. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. And today, 2 years later, the pain and the hurt can come back so strong to them, it feels like it just happened the day before. But you know what? As bad as their grief was, that family started doing some things to help themselves heal. They moved out of that house and moved into a different house so they wouldn't constantly be reminded of the nightmare that happened there. They all went through some therapy and some Christian grief counseling. And Granger started touring again so he could get back into a routine. And now he takes Amber and his two kids with him so that they can always be together and support each other 24/7. But you know what the biggest thing is that helped those four people get through the loss of that little boy? Granger and Amber Smith and their two kids are all born-again Christians. So from the very beginning, they made a pact. The loss of that little boy was not going to tear their family apart, and it didn't. Granger and Amber Smith still pray together and have devotions together every single day. And Granger and Amber Smith still have a Bible study every single day with their two kids. And because of that, that family is still in one piece serving the Lord. This is what Granger Smith said. "It's the Lord who got us all through this because I can't deal with the magnitude of this loss on my own. And the good thing about being a Christian is I don't have to deal with it on my own, because I can lean on God for that and realize my boy is in a better place." Amber, the mom, said this, "I have never felt closer to God since the day of that accident, and I have never felt that He left us or forsaken us. And if God had told us before River was born that we were only going to get him for 3 years, I would have still done it all over again, because I am so grateful I was able to be his mom. But most of all, I'm grateful for the fact that by God's grace, I will see him again." There's people listening to this sermon right now. You lost somebody very precious to you however long ago, didn't you? So you're going through exactly the same kind of hell that that family went through. And I guarantee you it will be the worst thing that you will ever deal with in your entire life. But listen to me. The devil wants to use that loss to beat you up and split up your family and destroy your relationship with the Lord. But God wants to use that loss to draw you closer to Him than you have ever been before. Because sometimes the only thing that's going to get you through it is that promise of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross, knowing that you will see that loved one again. The sickness is death. The cure is Christ. So even though you never will forget that loss, even though you never will get over it, whatever in the world get over it is supposed to mean, you will get through it. Because Psalm chapter 147 verse 3, God does heal the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And if God did it for those people, He'll sure enough do it for you. The second thing we need to do in order to deal with death, we need to understand the cure. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do in order to deal with death. We not only need to understand the cause, we not only need to understand the cure, but third, we need to receive that cure. We need to receive that gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul is implying here at the end of this verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. A wage is something we do deserve. A gift is something we don't deserve. That's why they call it a gift. Which means you don't have to do anything at all to go to hell. Just sit around waiting for what you got coming. But there is something you have to do to go to heaven. If somebody offers you a gift, the only way it can really be yours, the only way you can really benefit from it is if you take it, is if you receive it. You've got to receive the gift of God, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because there really are only two places that you can go when you die. Life after death is binary. It's heaven or hell. Smoking or non-smoking. And sadly enough, too many people today don't receive the gift of Jesus Christ, don't receive the gift of eternal life, because they don't think there's any hell to worry about to begin with. Hollywood actor Jeff Bridges said this, "I had a good time living, and I'm looking forward to having a good time dying." Well, that all depends on where you're going to go when you die. Because I guarantee if you know you're going to hell, you wouldn't be looking forward to that at all. Belief in hell today in America is at an all-time low. And you know why? Because too many pastors and preachers never talk about it. They never preach about it because it's too seeker-sensitive. Insensitive. I've had pastors tell me to my face, "Kevin, you can't preach about hell because hell doesn't make people comfortable." Folks, the idea of hell is not supposed to make people comfortable. I talk about hell and I get called a fire and brimstone preacher. But do you know where those words fire and brimstone, fire and sulfur come from? They come from the Bible because that's exactly what hell is going to be like. Because the biggest fire and brimstone preacher of all time was Jesus Christ, because most of what we know about hell comes directly from Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus talked more about hell than He did about heaven. So guess what? Hell is not the 2021 Chicago Cubs, or double ads on YouTube, or Baby Shark played on a continuous loop. Hell is a real place for real people who reject Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, Jesus said. But Kevin, how could a loving God ever send anybody to hell? I'll tell you how. Because that loving God is also righteous and holy. And because that loving God, 2,000 years ago, put His only loving Son on a cross to lovingly die on that cross, to lovingly pay the price for our sin. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son so that nobody would ever have to go to hell. Folks, there's love written all over that. But if you spit on that, if you reject that loving offer from that loving God, the only ever-loving chance that we have to be saved, God will not give you what you don't deserve. Instead, He will give you what you do deserve, and you'll go to hell. And folks, we got to realize, Jesus did not talk a lot about hell because He likes a good human barbecue. And I don't either. Jesus talked a lot about hell to warn people so that nobody would ever go there. Because 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God wants everybody to repent and be saved and go to heaven. But listen, that is never going to happen unless we receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Unless we receive that gift of eternal life through faith in the death and resurrection of Christ. There's somebody listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You've got to make a decision. You've got to turn from your sin and you need to turn to Christ and receive that gift of eternal life. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, all roads lead to God. All roads go to the same place. You don't need Christ. Any road will get you where you really want to go. Really? If you want to go to Canada, you can travel on Interstate 80, east and west, back and forth for the rest of your life. That road will never take you there. There's only one road to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ and the cross. You say, well, Kevin, I'll just wait. I'll wait till right before I die, and then I'll decide. Okay. But do you actually know when it is that you're actually going to die? 51-year-old Boulder, Colorado police officer Eric Talley. You think when he started his shift last Monday, he knew that he was going to die that day? Of course not. The guy had 7 kids, 12 years on the force, and was this close to quitting patrol duty so that he could be a drone operator for the police department where nobody would ever shoot at him again. But you know what? Even though that guy's death seems so unfair, he's still dead. So let me ask you this morning, do you know exactly when it is that you're going to die? The video you see on the screen is footage from a security camera from a Shell gas station close to an intersection in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And this happened last summer. Keep your eye on the top of the screen, the video, not the middle. Keep your eye on the top of the screen. Watch for the yellow car coming at the top from the left. Got squeezed a little. See it? Both drivers instantly killed on impact. In 40 years of ministry, I have done funerals for everybody from newborn babies to people in their hundreds and everybody in between. And I know this for a fact. You can die anywhere, anytime, of anything. Your fault, somebody else's fault, accident, suicide, drug overdose, natural causes, it doesn't matter. Your fault or not, ready or not, you're just as dead. And the Bible says the nanosecond you die, you will be standing in front of God in judgment. And at that moment, the only thing that's going to matter, the only thing that is going to matter, were you trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior before you died? You say, Kevin, what difference does it make? It makes one hell of a difference that you believe Jesus Christ before you died. You say, well, Kevin, all this stuff you're talking about, of the eternal life and the cross and the blood, that's crazy stuff. Kevin, it's too exclusive. It's too old-fashioned. It's too judgmental. Listen to me. You can call me judgmental. You can call me fundamental. You can call me sentimental. You can call me completely mental. I don't care if it is 2021. The Bible is still true. Jesus is still Lord. The wages of sin is still death. And the gift of God is still eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So right here, right now, you need to pray. You need to put your faith in the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. And what's the payoff? The payoff is the assurance of eternal life. That you know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. That's the payoff. And that is the number one thing that helps us deal with death the most. That is the number one thing that helps us overcome it. Radio show host Rush Limbaugh died last February the 17th at the age of 70. In case you don't know, Rush Limbaugh battled opioid addiction. He was married 4 different times and he lost his hearing. 13 months ago, he announced that he was dying from stage 4 lung cancer. But do you know what the number one thing is that helped Rush Limbaugh deal with that terminal illness? This is what he said. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, I know all my sins are forgiven. And it gives me immense strength and confidence and faith that what is meant by God to happen will happen whenever He determines. His will be done in all things. And that takes away the fear. People, that is the blessing of the assurance of eternal life. And you can have that no matter how scary that death may be. Last April the 19th, a wave of tornadoes broke out over Central Texas. And one of the hardest hit areas was a town called Franklin, 150 miles northwest of Houston, where an F3 tornado, winds of 165 miles an hour, totally trashed and destroyed all kinds of homes and businesses. One of the people who was living in Franklin that day was 76-year-old Kayla Smith. And that day, her daughter and four other members of her family were sitting on her front porch talking and visiting when all of a sudden a storm blew up. And it hailed a little bit. And then it got really, really quiet. So the kids ran out in the yard and started picking up pieces of hail to put in the freezer. But then all of a sudden, they heard the tornado siren. And they heard the sound of the freight train. And the wind started blowing so hard, parked cars started moving in the street. And they looked and they could see that funnel cloud headed straight for that house. So Kayla and her daughter called for the kids. They got everybody together. They ran in the house praying like crazy because they's all born again Christians. And because there was no basement, they headed for the bathroom because everybody and his brother says the bathroom is the safest place in a tornado because the water pipes have all the fixtures anchored to the ground. But the minute they started crawling in the bathtub, the Spirit of God spoke to them and said, get in the hallway, get in the hallway. What was he talking about? The hallway was just drywall and 2x4s. There wasn't anything anchored to the ground in the hallway. How in the world was the hallway supposed to keep them safe? God said, get in the hallway. So they did. And the very nanosecond they walked out of that bathroom, that tornado hit that house, tore off the roof, blew up the walls, debris flying everywhere, wind roaring so hard, Kayla Smith and her family members thought there wasn't any way in the world they were going to survive it. But then all of a sudden, that tornado was gone. And when they picked themselves up off the floor, they could not believe what they saw. Everything, absolutely everything in that house was totally trashed and destroyed, including the bathroom. Absolutely everything in that house totally destroyed except one thing. The only thing left on the entire foundation that was still standing up. And you know what it was? Amazingly, miraculously, the two walls that formed the hallway where Kayla Smith and her family members had hunkered down in. Exactly the place that God had told them to go. And you know what was so incredible about those walls? The only two things left standing on that entire foundation, one wall was what Miss Kayla calls her cross wall, because she had all different kinds of shapes and sizes of crosses hanging on that wall. And what about the other one? Well, that wall, Kayla had put stickers on that said faith and hope. Faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. Faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save us from death and give us the hope of eternal life. This is what it looked like.
Hey, this is the porch. Crystal and her family grew up in Franklin.
Actually, I was sitting here with Kayla, my friend Kayla. We were sitting on this porch when the weather started getting bad. The girls were out there in the yard getting hail and putting it in cups. And I made them come in because it started raining too bad.
She was in her childhood home when everything changed Saturday.
Right here. Actually, right there against that wall, lighting a candle. I actually found the candle yesterday and hadn't even broke.
And this is the front door?
Yes, this is the front door.
And the side of the house?
I slammed this door shut when I saw that truck coming. I saw the wind moving it, and I slammed the door shut, and everybody ran.
The storm rolled in quickly, and things got scary.
The roof just come off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't make it in there. So I hit the bathroom with everyone else, and it was all of us piled up in this small bathroom right here.
But after the skies cleared, the blessings this family can see are what the storm left in its wake.
All across the wall. The only wall still standing. There's one.
It's really something. Here.
Another wall that she has stickers on it says faith and hope with 1 Corinthians 13:13 verse on there. I feel like that shows me even more that it was nothing but the grace of God that was with us that day, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be alive. I'm still not questioning him, but I am still in disbelief that we're here.
Folks, we still do have to deal with death. Until Jesus comes back again, that's just the way it is. And sometimes death comes into our lives like a tornado, destroying and ripping everything apart so bad it doesn't seem like we're ever going to be able to survive it. But there is one thing and one thing only that saves us from death and helps us overcome it and gives us victory over it. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. Death, where is your victory? And because of Jesus Christ and the cross, death has none. The picture you see on the screen is a roadside memorial like you see in ditches and along highways and roads all over America, marking the spot where somebody died. Somebody who was very much loved and missed by the people that they left behind. But you know what the funny thing is about roadside memorials? People always put up a cross. You never see a Buddha in a ditch or along a highway. You never see a karma sign from Hinduism. You never see a goat's head for Satanism. You never see a big script A for atheism. It's always a cross. And you know why? Because even though most of the people who put up those crosses or roadside memorials don't understand it, they know that Jesus died on a cross. And because of that, they know that Jesus knows what death is like. And that Jesus knows how bad it is and how sad it is. And because Jesus died on that cross but then rose from the dead, He's not on that cross anymore. They put up those roadside memorials for some kind of hope, hoping that some way, somehow, death is not the end for their loved one. In some way, somehow, their loved one is going to be able to come back from the dead and they're going to be able to see him again. Folks, there is just something about the cross of Jesus Christ that helps heal grief. Something about His death that heals our death and the death of the people that we love. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a crystal fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. There's people listening to this sermon right now. Somebody you care about died however long ago, and that grief is still eating you alive. Today, you need to take that grief to the cross of Jesus Christ and let Him start healing it. He bore your grief and your sorrows on the cross. There's other people listening to the sermon right now. Somebody you love died. You know that person was a Christian. They're in heaven right now, but you're not a believer. And because heaven doesn't have visiting hours, the only chance you're ever going to have of ever seeing that person again, you've got to know Christ as your Savior too. Today, you need to pray for salvation. There's other people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You are terrified of dying because you do not know what's going to happen to you when you die. You need to pray today as well, right here, right now, and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior too. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for the death and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. I just thank You, Lord, that through that and through simple faith in that, we can conquer death one day. We will experience that resurrection and live forever in heaven with You. And I just pray, Lord, right now for people who are dealing with that grief. And Lord, it hurts. It just lays in your belly and it burns. I just pray, Lord, that right now, whoever that is would just surrender that. Take it to the cross. Lay that on You because You died for that too. And You just start that process of healing their heart just like You promised. And I pray for people that are listening to this sermon right now. People in this room, they're not saved. They're not Christians. They don't know He was their Savior. Realize, Lord, that the death is serious. This is the end. It's the last chance is right now before that death happens. I just pray, Lord, that they would pray that simple prayer, confessing their sins to You, asking You to be their Savior through trust in the blood that You shed on the cross to take those sins away. Ask, Lord, that they would just make that cross their victory over death and just have that assurance of salvation. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.